Thanks for tuning in for this week's podcast. I'm Jose Merino, Editor-in-Chief of the Neurology family of journals, Neurology, Neurology Genetics, Neurology, Neuroimmunology and Neuroinflammation, and Neurology Clinical Practice. In this week's feature interview, Professor Bart Jacobs discusses his study on the validity and region specificity of the modified Erasmus GBS outcome score in predicting the risk of walking inability in patients with Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Hi, it's Jeff Ratliff with Thomas Jefferson University and the Neurology Podcast. For this week's featured article interview, I'm speaking with Bart Jacobs from Erasmus Medical Center at University Medical Center Rotterdam in the Netherlands about his paper in the February 1st issue of Neurology. Bart's paper is titled Predicting Outcome in Guillain-Barré Syndrome, International Validation of the Modified Erasmus GBS Outcome Score. In this paper, Bart and colleagues from the International GBS Outcome Study present their findings on a previously developed clinical outcome score called the Modified Erasmus GBS Outcome Score, or MEGOS, on a large internationally diverse cohort of patients presenting with Guillain-Barré syndrome. Bart, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Bart, I want to set the table a little bit. The MEGOS is a clinical outcome scale used to predict long-term clinical outcomes in patients presenting with Guillain-Barré. Can you teach our listeners about it a little more? What clinical data does it use? How are we defining good versus poor clinical outcomes?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for inviting me. So the MEGOS is a prognostic model to predict the outcome in individual patients with GBS. It is indeed, as you said, a model to predict a long-term clinical outcome, but it can also be used to predict the outcome already at 4 weeks. It is based on three simple clinical characteristics that are usually available from all patients. So the first one is the age of the patient. The second one, the presence of diarrhea in the weeks preceding GBS. And of course, that is referring to preceding Campylobacter jejuni infections, which are related to poor outcome in GBS. And the third one is the MRC sum score, which is a sum of MRC scores from 6 bilateral muscle groups in arms and legs. So that ranges from 60, which is normal, to 0, which is full paralysis. And if the doctor has the information from these three clinical characteristics, then the MEGOS score can be calculated. So we are using that score already at hospital admission. And then it is a score ranging from 0 to 9. And patients with a high age, a preceding diarrhea, and more severe limb weakness usually have a higher score. And because of that, a greater risk of poor outcome. Well, the MEGOS was designed for patients who are unable to walk independently, and poor outcome is defined as the situation where the patient is still unable to walk independently. And good outcome is, in this case, the regaining the capacity to walk again. So the MEGOS can be used to predict the risk of still being unable to walk at both 4 weeks and 6 months after diagnosis. And the risk of poor outcome ranges from less than 10% to more than 90%. So it can be used at hospital admission already, but we also have developed a model that can be used at 1 week after admission. That's a 12-point score, and that's slightly more accurate than the score at admission.
Got it. That's helpful in clinical data like the patient's age, the presence of diarrhea, and the muscle power testing scores that we're all accustomed to doing as part of our neuro exam are pretty easy to plug in. And so it's nice to have a score that we can apply at a relatively early stage in the patient's course and get some good outcomes in terms of their gait independence down the road. So you had previously studied and validated the MEGOS in a cohort of patients with Guillain-Barré. So coming into the study we're talking about now, what did we already know about its performance? Who had it been studied in and how did it perform in that cohort?
Several groups have investigated the MEGOS previously, and this score was already developed more than 10 years ago. But I have to emphasize that the MEGOS was originally derived from a selected cohort of patients in the Netherlands, and those patients were all participating in treatment trials. And of course, that cohort is not representative for the general population of GBS patients, especially if you think about there's a lot of evidence that GBS varies between geographical regions. So I would like to refer to two important studies that validated the MEGOS previously. And those studies came from Malaysia and Japan, so very different setting than here in the Netherlands. And these studies also confirmed that the EMEGOS performs very well in their local cohort, so in these two Asian countries. Still, I also would like to say that GBS is a highly variable disease, including a spectrum of clinical variants, such as the Miller-Fisher syndrome, but also different subtypes like the demyelinating and axonal forms. And also the severity of the GBS is very variable in local cohorts. And I think that all the previous studies, including the ones from the Netherlands, were too small to cover the full spectrum. And of course, as you said, we have the ambition to develop a model that can be really used by clinicians with simple information, but preferably can be applied for the full spectrum of patients with GBS.
And that's good to know. While developed based on a cohort in the Netherlands, it has been validated outside of the Netherlands, specifically in the studies in Malaysia and Japan that you outlined. And so in this current study, you took that several steps forward and you sought to apply the EMEGOS to a larger, even more diverse international cohort of patients with Guillain-Barré syndrome, and specifically talking about this international GBS outcome study cohort, which drew patients from 19 countries in all continents except Antarctica. And so what did you learn about predicting outcomes in GBS based on this much larger, more international cohort in this current study?
I hope that you allow me to provide a bit of background about the International GBS Outcome Study. This study was also initiated about 10 years ago, so around the time when we published the original M-EGOS, because at that time we realized that to take the prognostic modeling of GBS a step further, that we needed a much larger all-inclusive international cohort of patients. And because of that, with many people in the consortium, we designed the International GBS Outcome Study, which was as a specific study design to identify determinants and predictors of outcome in GBS and to validate and improve prognostic models. So I'm very thankful to many clinicians and researchers in the consortium. They are from more than 160 hospitals, and they have been working very hard to collect this extensive data set that we are currently using. And the hospitals from all continents participated, indeed, except Antarctica, as you said. And recently, we have included 2,000 patients in this cohort study. But for the current validation study, we only used the first 1,300 patients. And because of this very large number, it was possible to conduct a very extensive validation study. So overall, our study now in this cohort shows that the M-EGOS performed well in patients from all those different geographical regions. There were some differences between the regions, as well as from Europe and Northern America, because those patients did slightly worse than predicted by the model, while the patient from Asia did slightly better than predicted by the model. And this information was used to adjust the algorithm of the model so it becomes more accurate for patients from Europe and North America.
Got it. Was this cohort different from a clinical standpoint if we compare it to those previous GBS cohorts, either from the Netherlands or from Malaysia or Japan?
Thank you for raising this important point. So apart from the large difference in the number of patients that was used in this study, there are also more qualitative differences between the international cohort and the patients from previous studies. So I think there are three important differences. The first one is that the international study is using the same standard protocol for all patients included, which makes it possible to combine the data and to compare patients from different countries. While previous studies, they are all using their own protocol for studies in single countries, so they're more difficult to combine. The second difference is that the international cohort is a prospective study that was really designed specifically to validate a prognostic model. So I think the study design is better than in previous studies, including our own from the Netherlands, which were largely retrospective data. And third, the international study was all-inclusive, so the full spectrum of patients with GBS, irrespective of age, clinical variant, subtype, or disease severity, could participate. And well, no doubt that we still have introduced some bias, but I think this cohort is probably more representative for the full population of patients. So for all these reasons, I think that we have now much more convincing evidence that the ME-GOS is accurate and general applicable in clinical practice.
My next question was going to be just that. Let's try to apply it. And so I'm hoping you can take a moment and teach our listeners who are reading the paper or listening to this podcast now and want to sort of take this clinical scale and apply it to the next Guillain-Barré patient that they admit to their service or that they encounter clinically. And so how do you calculate this? How do you apply the score? And perhaps most importantly, how does it inform the conversation that we're having with our patients and their families when they're presenting in the early stages of a Guillain-Barré syndrome?
So the model is really simple and straightforward and really designed for use by clinicians at the bedside of patients. So it is applicable to all the patients with severe GBS, so patients who are unable to walk. And as said, the only information that is required is about these three clinical patient characteristics, age, preceding diarrhea, and MRC sum score. And we have in the paper a table, table one, that gives an overview of, if you have that information, how you can calculate the ME-GOS score. And this can be done at hospital admission already, but also after 1 week, which makes it a bit more accurate. And then we have in the paper figure three that provides the information on how to use the ME-GOS score to calculate the risk for an individual patient of poor outcome, so not being able to walk independently. And that risk applies both to the situation at 4 weeks and 6 months after diagnosis. I presume that not all of you have this paper while you see a patient. So we have also developed an app for the mobile phone to calculate the ME-GOS. And for example, that app can be found at the QXMD platform. So if you search for Calculate, there are all the medical apps available. And if you search for Guillain or GBS, then you will find the ME-GOS model. And you can just use your telephone to calculate the risk. We explain to all the patients that there will be initially a rapid progressive stage that can be very severe, but GBS usually has a tendency to improve. But we explain that recovery rate highly varies between patients. And if then the patient really wants to know what is exactly the risk, then we are sharing this information from the ME-GOS calculation. So it's very important to explain that this is an accurate estimation of the risk, but that a risk is not the same as a certain outcome. So even for a patient with a risk of poor prognosis of, let's say, 90%, there are still a chance of good recovery of 10%. So I think that's important to explain. And most of the patients and family highly appreciate this detailed information. And we are also using this information to plan the rehab and further management of the patients. But also for research, it's important because we are conducting new treatment trials in patients, and we especially would like to have that for the selected patient with an poor predicted outcome according to the model. So we are using the model to select patients that most profit from new treatments. And the ME-GOS is therefore also included in the international guideline for GBS that is currently developed. And if you read that guideline, you will see that we are also working on other models, for instance, to predict the risk of respiratory failure in patients. So there's also literature on that. And I'm sure that the international consortium will work on more advanced models in the future as well.
I think that's super important. And your point is well taken that when we're talking with patients about a risk outcome or a risk of an outcome, it's important to emphasize that that's not a certainty, and there's a lot of other factors that go into this, as you said, be it the treatments that we're able to initiate and the rehabilitation process that hopefully we're able to tailor for that patient's recovery. And I think the other point you made about now using this score to optimize the treatments that we do have, and if we can find treatments that outperform the predicted outcomes based on the M-EGOS, then that's going to have a great impact on our ability to treat these patients with Guillain-Barré down the road. Thanks, Bart. I appreciate you teaching us today and joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Bart Jacobs from Erasmus Medical Center in the Netherlands about his paper, Predicting Outcome in Guillain-Barré Syndrome, International Validation of the Modified Erasmus GBS Outcome Score, which was published in the February 1st issue of Neurology. Thanks for listening.
This is Jose Merino. Please check out this week's journal, which features a study analyzing the trends in epilepsy center services in the US, as well as an article evaluating the associations between metabolomic profiles and incident stroke. Thank you again for listening, and have a great week.
The views and opinions of the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the journal Neurology or the AAN. Disclosures of the participants are included in the show descriptions, reached by a link on the neurology.org website.